I want to, we're a bit behind. I want to share with you what I said, Shabbos, Parshas, Matas Masai. Please put your phone on mute. So in Parshas Matos, we have the Parsha of Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, where the people from the tribes of Gad and Reuven came to Moshe and asked Moshe if they can have their portion that they're supposed to have in Eretz Yisrael, if they can have it on the other side of the Yarden, in the area before you cross the Yarden, the Eretz of the land of Sichon and Og. They wanted to have their portion there. So in the words of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, when they approached Moshe, they said, it says in the pasuk, "Vayigshu elav ayomru." They approached him and they said to him, "Gidrois tzayin nivna lemikneinu poi, ve'orim letapenu." We want to build pens for our sheep here, and cities for our children. So Rashi on this pasuk comments that Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven proceeded to talk about their sheep and their cattle before their children. Says Rashi, they were more concerned about their monetary possessions than their sons and daughters. Moshe said to him, "Loichein." Moshe said, "That's not the way to do it." Make the priority, and what is secondary. So when Moshe Rabbeinu repeated it to them, Moshe Rabbeinu said first cities for the children, and then pens for the sheep. So what we need to understand is that if you speak to the lowest of the low, any human being, no one would be more concerned for their sheep and cattle than they are for their children, for their sons and daughters. How can Rashi say this about Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven? We're talking about a Dor Deah. How can it be said about Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven that they were more concerned about their sheep than they were for their children, their sons and daughters? It's just not fathomable that even any human being can even think that way. In Parshas Masai, you have the Parsha of the Orei Miklot, the cities of refuge, that if someone unintentionally murders another person, then he would have to run to these refuge cities in order to save themselves from the Goel Adam. The Goel Adam is a relative of the victim. If a relative of the victim were to find the unintentional murderer, he would be allowed to kill him, unless he's in a city of refuge. So therefore, the unintentional murderer must run as fast as he can to the closest city of refuge in order to save himself from the Goel Adam. So this parsha is in Parshas Masai. Now the pasuk says that how long must the unintentional murderer remain in the Ir Miklat? So the pasuk, he should sit there, he should live there, ad moisa kohen agadol, until the kohen agadol dies. Once the kohen agadol dies, the unintentional murderer can come out of the Ir Miklat. And Rashi and Chazal have difficulty understanding what is the death of the Kohen Gadol have to do with this? And numerous reasons are given why it is the Kohen Gadol's fault that this person has to run to the Ir Miklat. He should have davened that such things shouldn't happen. And that's why we have this murderer, this unintentional murderer in the Ir Miklat, praying that the Kohen Gadol should die, he should be able to come out. So I'd like to perhaps suggest another approach as to why this is the Kohen Gadol's fault, and why the unintentional murderer is coming out of the Ir Miklat is dependent on the death of the Kohen Gadol. Now it's interesting that this parsha falls in the 9 days. In the 9 days that we mourn the Churban, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So this, we have this parsha which is called the parsha of Golus. The parsha of exile, where the unintentional murderer has to be exiled to one of the refuge cities. And here we are mourning our own Golus. And perhaps these two Goliaths, these two exiles, are connected to each other. So perhaps the mistake that B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuben were making was a mistake, a very common mistake. That is the following. We all have things that we get excited about. Things that we're enthusiastic about. Things that we get heated up about. Now the avodah of a yid is to channel our excitement, to channel the area that we're going to be enthusiastic about, that it should be ruchnias. It should be our spirituality. It should be our Torah. It should be our tefillah. It should be our performance of mitzvahs. Those are the things that we should get excited about. And that's what our minds should be preoccupied with. How we're going to perform mitzvahs. How we're going to improve ourselves in all areas, bin adam lamakim, bin adam lachaveray. Whereas in Gashmias is an area that we need to do ishtadlis, we need to put in effort, but we just have to fulfill our obligation and we have to go on. That's not the area where our enthusiasm should lie. So, but it requires us to shift our interest and our enthusiasm and our excitement to God, to Ruchnias. If we don't actively channel our enthusiasm for Ruchnias, then naturally our enthusiasm is going to be involved in Gashmias. And those are the areas we're going to get heated about. Those are the areas that we're going to get excited about. And our ruchnias is going to be something we have to be yoitze, something we have to just fulfill our obligation and go on. That's what our spirituality is going to look like. And unfortunately, it's very common that the latter is true. People's enthusiasm is naturally in the areas of Gashmias, whether it's their parnassus, whether it's their tivus, whatever it might be, or whether it's sports, our enthusiasm lies in Gashmias, and unfortunately our ruchnias is bland. We go through the motions to fulfill our obligations. Now, when Parshas Baal Oitzcha, Hashem tells Moshe to command Aharon to light the lamps of the Menorah. And he tells him, El mul panei ha-Menorah yo'iru shivas ha-Neiros, that all of the lamps should all be facing, illuminating towards the middle lamp, towards the center lamp. And I believe that what this mitzvah represents is that what Hashem is telling Aharon is that it is his obligation, it is his duty to see to it, to channel the fire of Yidden, that it should be towards Ruchnius, the middle lamp. The Ner HaMaravi represents the Shekhinah, it represents spirituality. Aharon HaKohen's duty was to channel the fire of Klal Yisrael, that they should be facing, it should be towards Ruchnius. Instead of the natural inclination of the person, that their enthusiasm should be to matters of Gashmias, Aharon HaKohen's duty was to train and to teach Klal Yisrael to channel their fire towards Ruchnius. Now, the reason why somebody who kills another person unintentionally has to run to the city of refuge is because perhaps a relative of the victim will want to murder him, will want to kill him as for revenge. The words the pasuk uses to describe the drive for revenge is ki yecham levavai. His heart will be heated. The relative's heart will be so heated to take revenge that he'll go and kill the unintentional murderer. A murderer that killed somebody totally unintentionally. So whose fault is it that is what a person's heart is getting heated about? And that the heat of the heart, a person is willing to kill a person. Why is the person's fire in that area altogether? Why isn't the person's fire in Ruchnius? Why isn't his enthusiasm and excitement in the area of Ruchnius? Apparently, this person has a fire that's driving him to murder people. It's the fault of the Kohen Gadol. He obviously didn't channel the fire of Klal Yisrael towards the middle lamp. His avodah was to channel the fire of Klal Yisrael to Ruchnius. So it's the Kohen Gadol's fault that there's a kiyecham levavai that can drive a person to kill another Yid. And that's what Golus is. Golus is exile. When a person is in a place where he shouldn't be, that's exile. And when our fire, when our excitement is in a place where it shouldn't be, that calls for exile. That calls for Golus. And that's why in Parshas Masai, the Torah records the death of Aharon, the death of the Kohen Gadol. When was it? Also, it's the only yahrzeit mentioned in the Torah. Rosh Chodesh Av. Because this is what Chodesh Av is about. It's about the death of the Kohen Gadol. It's about not having the Aharon HaKohen who channels our fire towards an area that it should be. And since our fire is an area where it isn't, our fire is in Gashmias instead of Ruchnias, we have to go to Golus. Since our fire is in Golus, we have to be in Golus as well. So perhaps when Bnei Gadol and Reuven mention pens for our sheep, Gidrois Tzoin, it's a terminology for all matters of Gashmias. Our sheep, our cattle, our livelihood. It's a term for Gashmias. A person's sons and daughters, the chinuch of our children, that represents Ruchnias. And Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, all they said was, they mentioned their Gashmias before the Ruchnias. They mentioned the Gidrois Tzoin before Tapenu. It wasn't that they were more concerned about their livelihood than their children. Of course not. But they were more concerned about their Gashmias than their Ruchnias. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to them. No, that's not the order. That's not the order of a Yid. A Yid's priority needs to be Ruchnias. First, Orem L'tapchem, and then Gederes L'tzaynach. Our fire, our excitement, our enthusiasm needs to be channeled to areas of Ruchnias. Gashmias, all right, we have to be involved in Gashmias. So we have to fulfill our obligation there as well. But that's not where our fire is to be. I heard a story recently from a Yid who heard this directly from Reb Simcha Wasserman. Reb Simcha Wasserman related that his father, Reb Elchanan Wasserman, went to greet the Chofetz Chaim after World War I. During World War I, the Chofetz Chaim had to leave Radin, and he had to go elsewhere because Radin was at the battlefront. So after World War I, the Chofetz Chaim came back to Radin. Reb Elchanan went to see him. He hadn't seen his Rebbe in a few years. So as they were talking, a person arrived and told the Chofetz Chaim that the death toll of World War I was 12 million people. So the Chofetz Chaim said at the time, this is a Kinderspiel. This is child's play in comparison to what's coming. And indeed, World War II claimed lives of 26 million. So Reb Simcha said that that's not where the Chofetz Chaim continued. The Chofetz Chaim said that after World War II, which is going to claim many more lives than World War I, there's going to be a third war. He said, but the third war is going to be different than the first two wars. Chofetz Chaim said that the first two wars, Hashem is just going to let the Malach HaMavos loose. He's going to let the Angel of Death loose. And he's going to claim the lives of good people and bad people and men and women and children. He's not going to differentiate. The third war, said the Chofetz Chaim, will be similar to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Either a fifth will survive, or maybe a 50th, according to some midrashim. And it's going to be the ones that are going to survive are going to be the Yirei Hashem, those who are God-fearing Jews. Those are going to be the ones that will survive. Everyone else will perish. Those are the words of the Chofetz Chaim. Reb Cheskel Abramsky repeated these words, and he said that the Chofetz Chaim, when he was talking about a third war, was not talking about a physical war. He's talking about a spiritual war. That 4/5 will disappear into the oblivion of Tumah, and only the Yirei Hashem will be the survivors with their Yiddishkeit intact. And then he said the most frightening thing. Reb Cheska Levenstein said, and how do we know whether we're survivors or not? How do we know whether we are among those survivors? He said, if you sighed a sigh of relief when I told you that it's not going to be a physical war, rather a spiritual war, then you're not among those survivors. If Gashmius is more important to you than Ruchnius, then you're not among the Yirei Hashem. Mamash pachad. The priority of a Yid needs to be Ruchnius. That is what we need to work on. We need to work on channeling our flame towards that middle lamp. That our flame, our excitement, our enthusiasm should be in Ruchnius, not in Gashmius. Though the Eibush to help him, that we should be Zoiche, to make Ruchnius our priority. That's where our excitement and our enthusiasm should be. That's what our priority should be. That's Chus, may we be Zoiche to overcome all the battles, and I believe we are entrenched in this battle. We're currently involved in this third battle that the Chafetz Chaim was talking about. With all of the Yetzaharas out there, we are in the middle of this battle, and we need, the only way we're going to overcome is if we are going to put our spirituality first. So the Eibush Ta'al, we should be zeichet to do so, and at Tzchus, we should be zeichet b'karav to come out of Golus. And we should be zeichet to the binyan beis hamikdash hashlishi b'vias Mashiach tzedkenu b'meheru b'yameinu.